I stepped out and looked back up at the hole. All I had to do was squirm my way toward my destiny. I looked about for something to stand on. Two powerful arms grabbed me and lifted me as if I were an infant. I pulled myself into the hole. "Thanks for the lift."
"My pleasure," Frederica replied with a melancholy look. "Take care of yourself, Myrick."
I squirmed my way in until my shoulders became stuck. My feet still dangled in the air. I flailed as gracefully as I could, as I tried to find something to push against.
"A little assistance here, please?"
Hands grasped my ankles and pushed me forward. My shoulders cleared the obstruction, and I could now continue oozing to freedom. "Thanks," I said again.
"Just don't get stuck," I heard, though it was muffled by the stone around me.
The journey was, shall I say, worse than the privy hole despite the lack of stench. Several times, the passage narrowed down and I almost became wedged for the rest of my life. Fortunately, I was able to clear the obstacles and get through. And, of course, the family of rats that I intruded upon wasn't very happy to see me. It was with great relief that I reached the other side, and even greater relief when the grate came off with a minimum of fuss. I leaned out the hole. It was a long way down. I couldn't help but smile when I saw the straw cart parked nearby. All I had to do was aim for it and let it break my fall. How lucky could I be? Not lucky enough. My forehead smacked the side of the cart and I ended up lying sprawled out on the paving stones. I couldn't even have the fortune to get knocked out, so I had to lay there moaning in pain. At least I didn't break anything, but I had some new bruises to add to my collection. I stiffly stood, rubbed my back, and limped to a dark corner where I could sleep until morning. I didn't feel like I'd been asleep for very long when I felt someone kicking my leg.
"Oi, you! What are you doing here, you little booger?"
I opened one eye and saw an old farmer sneering down on me.
"Sleeping?"
Never hurts to state the obvious. Well, actually, that's not true. Sometimes it hurts a lot, like this time. After I bravely thrust my stomach into the man's foot several times, he said,
"Now get out of here, you lout! This is my spot!"
What was it about this castle? Up to this point, the nicest person I'd met had tried to splatter my brains with a mace. I struggled to my feet while clutching my stomach. The farmer took a step toward me with a raised fist, which prompted me to heroically turn around and run for my life. I dashed around several buildings before I looked back to find I'd lost him. After I caught my breath, I made my way back to the marketplace. By now, several wagons had arrived carrying produce, clothing, and other wares. I had to slap myself on the head when I realized that it would have been a lot easier to sneak into the castle aboard one of those wagons than to swing my way in through the toilet. Oh well, live and learn. I put that plan into my mental quiver for next time. Now, all I needed to do was find the court wizard, Lord Korak. Normally one might ask for directions, but with my success rate at talking to people, I decided to strike out on my own. I headed toward the back of the courtyard where I saw some kid about my age wearing a dorky red uniform of some kind. He walked under an archway into a deeper part of the castle. I decided to follow him to see if he might lead me to Korak.
"Hey, you there!"
I heard a familiar voice say behind me. I turned and recognized a spear point I was well acquainted with. And at the other end was my old buddy, Bumstabber. This time I decided not to stick around and chat. I saluted before I took off into the crowd.
"Stop that thief!"
I overturned a turnip cart, knocked over a roll of textiles, and plowed over a little old lady during my escape. Once again, my fleetness of foot kept me away from the guard. I darted down a narrow street between the Temple of Corum and the Armory, emerging onto a small but mostly vacant street. Heavy footsteps clomped along behind me, so I took off at a full sprint. Up ahead, I saw a sign that said Recruitment. I'd made it. I glanced back to see two other soldiers emerge, point at me, and give chase. Because of the chainmail they wore, I knew they didn't stand a chance of catching me before I could reach the door. I smiled and started preparing a taunt. The next thing I knew, I was looking up at blue sky framed by stone walls. Then I realized that my nose hurt.
Think you're smart, huh, kid?
As my eyes came into focus, Bumstabber's ugly face sneered over me.
Smarter than you,
my mouth said before my brain could stop it. And believe me, that comment did smart. After he was satisfied with my pleas for mercy, Bumstabber grabbed the front of my shirt, well, Frederica's shirt, but I wasn't going to tell him that, and put his ugly mug next to my face.
How about a nice long visit to the dungeons with you? I'm tired of your ugly face.
Man, did the guy have bad breath. It made the privy smell like roses in comparison.
And I'm tired of your uglier one, I retorted.
Ouch. Once I recovered from my face meeting his palm, I asked,
What do you have against me?
Nothing, except for being an ugly thieving peasant with no business here.
I told you, I came to join the army.
A runt like you? I can smell a dirty thief from a mile away, and that's what you is.
Bumstabber grunted as he dragged me up the street. His two colleagues joined him. I tried to scramble out of his grip, but couldn't.
What is going on here, Sergeant?
Asked a deep voice from behind us. Sergeant, Bumstabber stopped and turned around.
Lord Korak, sorry to have bothered you. I'm just taking this load of garbage to the dungeon.
I twisted my neck around and saw a large, heavy-set man in a glowing purple robe. He held a turkey drumstick in one hand and wore a frown on his bearded face.
On what charge?
For being a stinking thief.
Lord Korak looked at me.
Is this true?
No, honest, I said. Bumstabber raised an arm to slap me.
Stop, Lord Korak commanded. I thought I heard this young man say he wanted to join the army. Bring him to my office.
He turned and headed through the door under the recruitment sign. Bumstabber snarled, but he obeyed the court wizard by dragging me roughly inside. The two other guards waited outside while we entered a room with three tables. One table was covered in books and papers, while another had glass containers holding various liquids and dried samples.
Sorry about the mess. I'm having to use this room until they finish remodeling my tower.
Korak sat behind the third table.
Now, I'd like to hear the charges against this young man.
Bumstabber stammered for several seconds. I smiled my sweetest smile at him, which earned me a kick to my already tender rump.
You haven't answered my question, Sergeant. I'm sure he must have stole something. Those clothes, for instance. They ain't the ones he wore yesterday.
Korak turned his attention toward me.
And what do you have to say for yourself, son? Did you steal those clothes?
I stood up and brushed myself off. No, sir. They were given to me.
By whom?
A nice young lady. She saw the deplorable state of my old clothes and gave me these. I poured all the poor little urchin look into my face as I could.
And do you want to join the army? Korak asked.
Yes, sir. At least Korak didn't laugh, but he stared at me long and hard. He frowned and shook his head.
You are telling the truth, but I'm afraid I can't accept your request. Go back home to your family.
What?
After all I'd been through, he was going to turn me down? That just wasn't right. I put my hands on my hips.
Look. I know I'm not large, but I'm fast, and I can wield a sword as good, if not better, than any soldier in the kingdom. My father fought and died in the service of King Fritz. You owe me a chance to serve King Frankfurt.
My rousing speech earned me enough sympathy to get a whack along the side of the head from Bumstabber. Korak pointed at the door.
That will be enough, Sergeant. Out.
But my lord, he's too small and...
Out.
Bumstabber sneered before turning and leaving the building with a resounding slam of the door. Korak took his time looking me over. I tried to stand as tall and heroically as I could. Finally, he shook his head.
I'm sorry, kid. I like your spirit and all, but you'd be chopped up faster than a cow in a butcher shop if you went to battle. You may go, but if Sergeant Ukden gives you any more trouble, come and see me.
That was it? I was just to turn around and return to the farm with my proverbial tail between my legs? No, not I. Not Myrick the Majestic.
Isn't there something else I can do to serve the king?
Korak scratched his beard and looked at me some more.
You say you're fast?
How good are you at running?
Running? I can run all day without stopping. I'm faster than a frightened deer. I have the endurance of a Dissidian dragon.
Okay, I exaggerated a little, but who doesn't during a job interview? Korak smiled and nodded.
I may have a position for you after all. How would you like to be in the king's royal messenger service?
Sure, I said, before my brain could think about it. He pulled a piece of paper from the pile on the desk. He held it up and asked,
Can you read this?
I almost said yes, but stopped before my mouth ruined my chances. My mom taught me how to read from a book of legends. Most peasants didn't know how to read, though, so I decided it would be better if Korak thought I was some uneducated lout.
No, my lord.
Good.
He put the paper down on the desk and chanted,
Diputs, Trollkon, Im, Redun, Era, Ooi.
His fingers thrust out as if he were sprinkling water on the paper. I didn't see anything, though. He then handed me a quill with ink on it and said,
Put your mark on that line.
I smiled enthusiastically and put my symbol on the page. As I finished the mark, a strange golden glow ran out from the paper into my hand and up my arm. I jumped back and shook it, but it had returned to normal. It took a while before I learned that I had signed a magic contract, one that cannot easily be broken. Korak grinned and rolled the contract up. He sealed it with some wax and put it on a rack with several other scrolls.
Now we need to get you dressed properly.
He went over to a closet and pulled out a red uniform. A dorky-looking red uniform.
Here you go, lad.
He tossed it to me. I tried not to grimace as I caught it. Thanks. A thought occurred to me. If there was a uniform, perhaps there would be armaments, like a magic sword or something.
Do I get a weapon, too? Something to protect myself? I asked a little too enthusiastically.
Korak scratched his armpit as he considered my request. He reached back into the closet and pulled out a little knife in a sheath.
A really, really little knife.
I caught it when he lobbed it my way. My enthusiasm faded as I looked at the tiny thing in my hand. I only had one hope left.
Is it magical?
Korak laughed and put a hand on his round belly.
I guess, if you want it to be. What is your name, son?
Myrick.
The mortified. Well, Myrick, welcome to King Frankfurt's Royal Messenger Service.
Thus began my illustrious career as a message carrier for King Frankfurt V of Fringolia. I left the castle later that day with my first bag of messages and armed with my magic toad sticker. During my time, I did gain several magical items and met some very strange characters. I also battled bandits, enemy soldiers, undead sorcerers, troglins, and even slew a dragon once. No, I'm not kidding. A real, live, fire-breathing dragon. Okay, it was a baby, but so what?
But I knew more than anything else that I had an even more important mission in life. To rescue a princess.
The tales of Myrick the Magnificent.